Welcome to the Dead 3 Coaching Podcast. I am your host, George Evian. And as I've said, I guess the past few times with this, it's been a bit. I apologize for that. We got a lot going on in terms of basketball and some of the stuff we do outside of work and our basketball season coming to an end and everything going on with work. But again, you get what you prioritize and you can get it all done. You just got to get focused and locked in on all that. And so I'm happy to be putting out another episode here, and we're going to do this one a little different. And I hope this works, and we'll see if this is as valuable for you as it was for me in preparing this. If you follow me on any of the social media platforms, and I kind of cringe a little bit when I do this, some of these postings, right? I don't want it to come across like, you know, I'm flexing on any of this stuff. You know, I'm just really excited about some of the things that have happened this year for me. I'm excited about the first 2 months. Right now it is March 3rd, 4th, or 5th, somewhere in there. I don't know the, what is it? Today is March 5th. So, you know, we're starting month 3. If you've listened to the podcast, you know, we're definitely thinking about, we're starting chapter 3. There's still plenty of book to write for 2024. It's going to be an amazing year. I'm super excited and passionate about the goals and things that we're trying to 10X this year. One, just on that point, and we've talked about this before, and I think it's going to come up here in the notes that I have here on my computer screen. But man, a lot of what we want to do in life boils down to consistency. It boils down to focus. It boils down to fear. We're definitely going to be talking about that. It boils down to being consistent. It is part of just getting out of your comfort zone and just going for it. So there's all that that is part of this, right? But as we roll through 2024, and now we are on chapter 3, and we're 3 or 4 days into that, man, I know things have happened this year for you, and they have for me, right? I always want to be striving and reaching and trying to do more. And here's what I've learned a little bit. I've never had this issue. And I've read about this issue or this response to things going wrong in your life. But it's like, and this might be a bad analogy, but the guy that is clean and sober, the guy that has a drinking problem, that is an alcoholic and realizes that he can't or she can't be doing that anymore. So they, you know, get clean and sober, and they've gone through all these things to do that in their life. And they're starting to build momentum and confidence and a different way of solving problems and all that sort of stuff. Right. And then something really bad happens and it's a trigger and they go right back to where they were. Right. So I know those things have happened. Right. And so we try to create these great habits and routines and rituals to try to have this great life and to try to have this great year and to create these great habits and all that. But then when something bad happens, where do we go? Do we go back to the way, you know, it do, like for me, my social media, like my morning routines, that has been significant exclamation point on how my year has gone so far. No news, no social media, reading, meditating, planning my day, etc. It's been really good for me. And then, not that I've had anything traumatic or significant happen in a bad way this year. So I haven't gone back to, but something bad happens, then you just wake up and you're just like, oh man, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, the news. Like, and then all of it, like, then you're just back into it. And all the work, all the improvement, everything you've done, not that it's for nothing, but you're just kind of back where you started. So that is what we or I have to overcome. Like when bad things happen and then you just go back to the way things used to be. What is maybe your core habits that we're trying to break? So, but if you have followed me on Instagram, so I'm not flexing on this, but my morning routine has been significant. And I just bring this up for one reason. And then it's without questioning, pivoting and positioning us to the conversation today is that I have changed my whole morning routines, and all it is about right now is waking up and getting excited about, yes, the hot cup of coffee, but the books I'm reading. So this is a truth. In the past, I've got this bookshelf, if you're watching on YouTube, and we do have a YouTube channel, that these books behind me have sat here and I have dabbled in all of them and I have completed none of them. And I do love books and I love getting them. And I like, you know, maybe out of the, you know, I don't know if there's 100 books behind me, but maybe I have completed cover to cover 5 of them. And then last year, I can't say with any level of confidence, last year, 2023, any book I finished start from cover to cover. Now, we're two months and two days. And I have posted this on Instagram because I'm reading great things. I'm proud of what I'm doing. I want to share that out there. But here's the one thing I'm doing is I'm reading every morning. And now instead of getting through maybe one book, I am now 13 or 14 books in 2 months in. I think I finished 8 books the last month of February. That extra day helped me. So we got all those. And I will say this, I am retaining it. I am comprehending it. I've got these note cards here in front of me. If you're on YouTube, these note cards that I just take notes on. Now, I know I have mentioned that in other podcasts, and I'm not going to belabor that point. What we're doing now is I want to just touch on today in this conversation. We're 6 minutes in on one of the books I'm reading, and this may be what we do moving forward. I have figured out some of this technology to read a book quicker using Audible, and I can explain to you if you're interested, reach out to me on LinkedIn or my text message, whatever it is, on how I'm able to roll through these books and how I'm able to comprehend and understand and then get back to the content that is important and relevant to me. But then I'm also able to take everything I'm underlining and highlighting and quickly get it in text form so I can then speak to it, have a conversation about it, recall it, et cetera. Now, I'm going to start with this over the next maybe episode or two, and maybe we'll get through 2 or 3 episodes a week. But this book impacted me a year or so ago, and it is a book I bet you I read cover to cover. It is a book called The Attributes. It is written by Rich DeVinny, if I'm saying that correctly. He is a former Navy SEAL. I listened to him on the Ed Milet show, and it struck me a year or so ago. I bought the book immediately, and I am fascinated by military history, fascinated by the training and leadership of the military, and more pointed, the Navy SEALs. Right. We got Jocko Willink books, and I listen to his podcast on occasion. And then Rich DeVinny is just another Navy SEAL that has gone out into the business world to talk about leadership. But what he talks about here, and we're going to jump right into it. I've got 5 chapters of notes here in front of me on the things I am reading. And now what it's going to do is I read it. I put it on note cards. I then put it into note form in OneNote, and then I speak about it. So now it's like even more so, and I hope to do it on the books that I have read up to this point. But he talks about this, and this really hit me, is the difference between a skill, being able to shoot a basketball, and an attribute, right? So there is a really big distinction between the importance of attributes over skills. So think about this, and this hit me this morning when I was on my walk and I was listening to some other podcasts, but I kept thinking about this book and I kept thinking about attributes and what that is and what my attribute, how I grade on these 25 attributes that he has of optimal performers. And there's 25 of them. He says there's probably 36, but there's 25 he talks about in the book. There's 25 that they measure, grade, and report on for Navy SEALs. And we'll get into those here as we go through this book. But the thing that hit me was thinking about the movie, The Miracle. And the movie Miracle is about, I believe, the 1980. I'm certain that's the year. About the 1980 hockey, U.S. hockey team. And there's a point in that, if you've seen the movie, there's a point in that movie where he says, I'm not trying to get the best ones. I am trying to get the right ones. And that right there is the first thing that popped into my head of, hey, I'm not trying to get the most talented here. I am trying to get the best, or I'm trying to get the right ones. I'm not trying to get the best. I'm not trying to get all the Kobe Bryants. I'm trying to get the right ones that can do the job, right? And I might go back on that exact phrase here as we go through these, but attributes shape behavior and performance more significantly than skills do, right? Reading some of my notes here. Attributes shape behavior and performance more significantly than skills. You've all now very much sports centered. This is part of the whole deal of what we do here. But building your teams up, it's not getting the most talented. It's not getting always the best shooter or the best runner or the best person to throw a fastball, whatever it might be. It is getting the right person that measures on all these different attributes. And again, there's 25 of them. But we're talking about humility. There's grit attributes. There's leadership attributes. And the grit ones are, let me see if I can quickly kind of get to these. But like the grit ones are going to be perseverance and resilience and courage, things like that. Those are attributes that we have. Humility is a different, another one in a different bucket of that. You know, empathy is one. So you take all of these things and you start to figure out how you measure up, how your team measures up. He gives this example in the book of like letting a lady have 2 weeks to prepare for a product presentation. And she has it all laid out and she's ready to go into this room with executives and all that. And then 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour before the presentation, you change the product, you change the audience, and you change all that to see how she responds. So your attributes get elevated when the waters are calm. When the waters are calm, who are you? That's easy to be elite when the waters are calm. These great coaches make practices harder than games. They bust them up. I think of Bobby Knight and how hard he was as a basketball coach at Indiana University, and how, you know, I was fortunate for a number of years to watch Rick Majerus at the University of Utah, and their practices were relentless. How do you respond? Who do you become? Not who do you become, but who are you? We said to our kids last week, man, this game of basketball doesn't build character. It reveals character. Now, it can build character. It can, but you understand the point there. It reveals who you are. On the end, who are you? These attributes. They are intrinsic traits that dictate how individuals react, behave, and perform in all these various scenarios and situations. It's who you are. Attributes play a pivotal role in navigating the challenges and uncertainties, often surpassing the influence of learned skills. So that's the thing. Like, you can be really great at doing X, Y, and Z and have these crazy skills, but it's always the attributes that are going to elevate you. Competitiveness, I believe, was one, and all that. So attributes guide the performance by influencing decisions and actions. Like, this is so important that we think about, and you need to get this book. And he is spot on about all this and the examples of what they deal with in the business and executive world, but definitely what they deal with on the military front and on getting the right people. He gives a story of somebody trying out a post Navy SEAL guy, applying for and going through another job that he is training people for to see if they could be a part of this another elite operation and organization within the military. And there's somebody that is terribly highly decorated. And this person had all the recommendations, had all of this. And as they evaluated this person, he didn't fit. He didn't have what they needed. It's not getting the best. It's getting the right ones. And they had to sit down with this person that was a shoo-in for this position. And they had to tell him no. So what they actually did was they had to be able to then explain why to executives, management, people higher up than them. They had to explain, hey, why did you not take this person? And they had to be able to explain it, as opposed to, it wasn't a good fit. No, they had to go, hey, you know, these particular traits that we have to have, traits, attributes, these particular attributes that we absolutely have to have for this team. They did not measure up. And here's why. And here's what we did. And here's how we valued it. And here's how we measured it. And they just didn't stack up. Special operations teams within the military prioritize specific attributes over acquired skills. Problem solving, decisiveness, decision making, self-awareness, like some of those things, they all bubble up. I don't have the books in the other room. I don't have it here in front of me to quickly cycle through it. But you've got to be able to roll through these things. And the first one that they talked about, the first, and we're going to kind of roll through these a little bit, are the grit attributes. Like what is grit? Here is what he says grit is. It's these attributes. What is grit? Toughness, you know, getting the job done, coming over obstacles, not getting staying focused on the mission, doing everything that it takes, the grit attributes, that bucket. The grit bucket compromises these essential attributes: courage, perseverance, adaptability, and resilience. Those four. Courage, perseverance, adaptability, and resilience. Those are the four. Those four attributes bubble up to being, to having some grittiness, to being tough, to being able to overcome. Courage, and I like this, and I believe he said it in here because he spent a fair amount of time with it, but courage is like, hey, I'm scared and I'm fearful and I know what's going on, but I'm going anyway. And I heard that somewhere, and I believe he said something like that in the book that he wrote. So that is like, there's always going to be fear. Now his thing is, hey, that's where the growth is. You've got to do something you're scared of and you have fear over every single day. And you've got to overcome that. And you've got to have courage to do that, because it does many things. But the one significant thing he talks about is what it does for you actually chemically. The neurological basis for courage and what that does for you. When you overcome fear, when you take courage to go do something, it releases all these chemicals in your body, dopamine and blah, 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 all this sort of stuff that I'm not smart enough to know anything about, right? But I know, like, hey, I'm scared of this. And when I go win and I go knock it out and I go take steps towards action to knock it out, I know I feel this way, X. And that's because of all the chemicals that he rolls through and all of the different things that my body might go through when I win, when I overcome, when I challenge myself and I get over that obstacle and I have courage to do something. Now, his point is, continue to do that. You know, David Goggins says that, you know, you got to wake up every day and embrace the suck, and you need to do something that sucks every single day. You've got to do something that sucks, something you don't want to do, something you're afraid to do. You've got to overcome it, and you've got to give yourself the courage to do it because of what it does for you. The dopamine serves as a reward system, and it motivates individuals to push beyond their comfort zones. Those are in my notes. Dopamine serves as a reward system. So every time you overcome the fear and every time you show courage to yourself, you're building confidence, you're honoring the commitments and the promises that you make to yourself, to quote Ed Milet. And you're going to continue to do it because the reward is the dopamine. The reward is how your body feels. The reward is that you know that you're overcoming your fears. Understanding that will enhance those attributes of grittiness to get you towards, and your team's towards, peak performance. Now, peak performance, we've all heard what he uses and what Andrew Huberman, who's a big shot in this space of the mind and body and goals and habits and what, and chemically what happens to your body. Andrew Huberman, you know, they don't talk about peak performance. They talk about getting you to optimal performance, to where you're just crushing it. You know, peak could be something different, and we can go into that later. But understand the courage, the perseverance, the adaptability, and the resilience. Those are the things that bring the toughness to you. right? And understand, I'm going to circle back a little bit. We only have a few minutes left here. I'm not going to be able to get through all of this, but I know this is probably how we're going to roll a little bit with the podcast here. I'm rolling through all these books. I want to speak to these books. I want to tell you what I'm thinking about, what I'm learning, what I'm trying to do to myself and my family and the teams that I work with, both on hours and off hours. Like this is it. You want to build like an elite athletic team? Like, yeah, you got to spend time. Like, we got workouts that start tomorrow with our spring stuff for our basketball team. And we're going to spend a lot of time on skills, 100%. But what happens when you're down 20? What happens when you're getting ready to play the number two team in the state? What happens when it's a minute to go when you're down three? Like, then what happens? You still got to have skill. But we got to have the right people that we know can and will get the job done. We got to know that they're not afraid, that the fear out there of publicly messing up, that it's a gym of 2,000 people and we might lose, or I'm going to be taking this shot, but no, I know I'm scared. I know I have a fear, but I am going to battle through it and do it. Meaning I have courage. I'm going to persevere through this. I am going to be adaptable to what's going on and I'm going to be resilient. Hey, we're down 20. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid of this opponent. We're not going to be. So those are the attributes. There's going to be people that are saying, hey, we're down 20. I want no part of this. But man, you're our best. Best at what? Handling the basketball, shooting the basketball. Cool. But you are missing these other attributes that will make us elite and give us the peak performance or optimal performance as a team. So what are we doing this offseason? Skill development, 100%. But we've also got to develop attributes so people know what we're looking for. We're not looking for the best. We're looking for the right ones. And are you one of the right ones? So I know that's definitely athletically focused, but what are you doing with your teams? Like, I had meetings this morning and I don't apologize for this at all. Do we have challenges? Yes, 100%. I understand. I get that, right? But these are opportunities. Now, we get these opportunities to overcome, to persevere, to be resilient, to have some courage, to go out in front and be afraid, but also go. We know this is going to be scary. We know we may not do this. We know that we may get our tails kicked, but I'm going to go with courage and I'm going to go with adaptability and I'm going to go with some perseverance and resilience. I'm going to show some grit to get this done. You going to do that professionally, or are you going to be, we can't do it. I'm going to get my ass kicked. I'll just bring it up when it's at the tail end that we can't do it. We're going to just continue to push these deadlines, or are we going to be elite and move towards peak performance and optimal performance? You can't say we can't do it. This is what I said this morning and things I was thinking about as I was on my walk this morning. When I used to coach college basketball, there's guarantee games. And a guarantee game is, hey, we're going to go play Michigan and get money. And we're a lower level school. And I don't know if this is how they came up with a guarantee, but hey, I'll guarantee you $5,000, $10,000, but you got to guarantee me I'm going to win. Like, I'll give you some money, but we better win. Like, I can't give you money and you come in here and kick my butt. Like, we're not doing that. So they called it a guarantee, right? I guarantee you some money. You guarantee me a win. You start winning those guarantee games as the underdog. You stop getting guarantee games, right? So every time we played a guarantee game, we wanted to go out and win. I wanted to be the team that nobody would schedule and we had a hard time fundraising because we'd beat your ass. Now, we went in with a game plan. We believed we could execute it. We believed we could beat these teams. Was it hard? Absolutely. Did we do many of them? Did we win some of them? Yes, absolutely. Did we win more than we lost? Absolutely not. We lost a lot more than we won. But every game, every opportunity, we rolled out with a game plan. We believed we could win. And whether it was Michigan, which it never was, but if we were to play Michigan State, as opposed a lower D2 of you know, a Hillsdale College in Michigan. We rolled out with a game plan and a belief that we were going to win. That we had all those attributes of courage, perseverance, adaptability, and resilience. The grit, the toughness, the can get it done attributes. And you just adjust. So you go into these things, you cannot go into these things with an attitude of, I can't, we won't, cards are stacked against us. We've got, you know, no, those are the rules of the game. And those are the resources of your team. Figure out how to win. Figure out how to win. Figure out how to do it. You got to be courageous. You got to persevere. You got to have adaptability. You got to be resilient. You got to have grit and toughness to get things done. So is that athletically? 100% that's building athletic teams. Building skills, but man, you better be spending time on who these people are and how do you get it better. You can't like, hey, you've got no grit. You've got no toughness. When things get hard, you quit. You cower. You sit on the end of the bench. You don't want to be in. You don't want to take the ball out of bounds. Like all that. Or, hey, when things get really hard, man, you go to a different level. Your courage is like a 10. Your adaptability in the situation is a 10. Your resiliency is a 10. Your perseverance is a 10. And you know what? You're not even our most skilled. But every time it's on the line, you have to be in. And every time we change this team professionally, you may not be our best at X, but every time we're in a hole, you are the one that gets us out of it. You have this grit, this toughness, this edge, this can do that nobody else in our company has. And you're not our most skilled. So listen, we haven't even scratched the surface on this book. Okay. And all these books I'm reading, I'm not flexing on any of this. I'm super excited though about all this content that I'm consuming on a daily basis. I'm super excited about that. I'm able to get all this information out here in front of me. I'm super excited that I can then share it with you all. Reach out to me on LinkedIn, on Twitter, text message, whatever it is, on your opinions on some of this. The book is called The Attributes. It's written by Rich DeVinny, former Navy SEAL. You're going to see this also on our website. There's all sorts of free stuff on the website right now. We're continuing to polish it. Please hit our website. It'll be in the show notes. We've made it very easy to navigate the website so you can get the content that you might need. And we're just going to continue. Literally, every morning, I spend at a minimum 45 minutes every day reading these books and highlighting and underlining and starring and making reference. If it's a book, if it's a quote, if it's an idea, if it's something for my teams, like I put all these sort of things in the margins and then I'm able to now get it out on the note cards. And I'm now with technology able to get it out into text form where I can then consider it even further and then speak to it. Right. But all this is relevant. This is, you know, I could do that every morning and then continue and just continue to have a conversation with you all about what I'm learning that day. This is what I learned today. I finished this book today. And, you know, this idea, there's different buckets that he puts things in, grit attributes, and then like leadership attributes and team ability attributes. Like how do you build a team? How do you build your leadership? How do you get grittier? Those type of things. And then how do you measure yourself on these things? It is a great book. So is this like book report type stuff? Maybe so, right? I'm going to post this, obviously give huge reference and kudos to Rich DeVinny. I encourage you to get the book. I encourage you to find anything on YouTube on this gentleman who's outstanding. If you know him or if I could swing it to get an interview with him on this podcast, that would be outstanding as well. So listen, have a great rest of your week. Look forward to discussing the rest of this book. I think we didn't even scratch the surface on this. There's a lot more to learn on these hidden, valuable, needed, and required attributes that we all have that are more important than the time we spend with skill development. Take care. Have a great rest of your week.